You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you want to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to our website, missionmatters.com, and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Laura Winans on the line, and she's CEO and principal consultant over at Next Level Benefits. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's great to be with you. I'm excited to chat with you today.
All right, Lauren. So we got a lot to talk about. I mean, there's a turnover tsunami. There's competition for talent. I mean, there's a lot of business owners, executives, entrepreneurs that watch this show, and talent's a big deal. Attracting, retaining. I mean, all these different things, benefits packages. I mean, there's all kinds of moving pieces here into what it takes to attract and keep talent. And we'll get into all that stuff today. But just get us kicked off, Lauren. So we at Mission Matters, we amplify the stories for executives, entrepreneurs, and experts. So that's our mission here. Lauren, what mission matters to you?
You know, to me, my mission really is just to help every client that I can to become a best place to work. You know, anytime I'm working with, you know, a client of ours, you know, even if it's just on a small piece of one of their HR strategies or projects, you know, my goal is to ultimately kind of leave it better than where it started. And so that's, you know, the goal. And that's ultimately why I started Next Level Benefits. And, you know, what we continue to do with each interaction with our clients is, you know, to identify areas of enhancement, areas of opportunities, and really try to impart our expertise and our wisdom to help them to kind of fill gaps and to make things better for their employees. And that's ultimately my goal. You know, employees get a lot out of their experience with their employers. You know, they're able to support their families. They're able to insure their families. They're able to save for retirement. They're able to get some, you know, much needed time off. You know, all of these sorts of things are incredibly important in our daily lives. And I want to be able to support employers as they build packages that are adequate and they really support the employees that are working for them.
That's awesome. Love bringing these mission-based entrepreneurs and businesses on the show and sharing them with our audience. So Lauren, just I guess we should start from the beginning. So how'd you get started on this path of HR, of talent? Like how'd you get started here?
Yeah, you know, my career actually started at a health insurance company. So, you know, not all that fun, but
Hold on. What do you mean not all that fun? There's a lot of people watching. I was in insurance for a long time. Come on.
So I love it, you know, and I am an employee benefits nerd at heart. So I really got to learn, you know, the health insurance industry inside and out during the first part of my career. And then I moved on to an entry level position in human resources at American Eagle Outfitters. You know, which is a huge company, global, you know, it was a really great experience. I was there for several years before, you know, jumping on to a few other employers. And ultimately, a couple of years ago, after 20 years in HR, you know, I just decided that it was time to, you know, have a change, do something different, kind of get out of that daily rat race that is really, really hard to keep up with, and take a break and try to find a different way to use my skill set. And, you know, the first thing I thought, you know, to do was to create an HR consulting company. And, you know, when we started things in 2019, I was mainly focused on employee benefits, but I quickly found that there are a lot of businesses, large and small, who can really benefit from external advice and guidance, and in some cases, project management and execution. So for the last couple of years now, you know, my team and I have been focused on all areas of HR, and I'm really happy to be doing what I'm doing now. I'm able to make a larger impact. I'm able to work with a variety of different HR and executive leadership teams. And it's been really rewarding to kind of take my past experiences and kind of leverage them in a new way with other, you know, clients that are looking to make an improvement to their employee experience.
So, Lauren, I happen to have somewhat of a unique insight to that industry, only because when I graduated college, a couple of my friends went that route. So they were are true HR professionals from day one out of college. They worked their way up, and, you know, 15 or so years later, whatever, they're pretty high up in some big companies. So that being said, I want to take a second and let's do a little bit of rebranding on what employee benefits nerds look like and kind of the industry. So if there's somebody out there watching this right now that has never maybe considered that as a career, whether they're just getting out of college, maybe they're a couple years into their career, or even further along, and they're thinking about different ways, like what kind of advice would you give them into the industry, what it's given you? Like, just give us a little bit of that behind the scenes look, if you will.
Yeah, you know, so I kind of fell into it, as I said, and so it was kind of a good thing because ultimately I've kind of caught my stride, you know, and I think that anyone who's kind of interested in getting started in HR should really take the opportunity to kind of work in the different disciplines of HR. Mm. So there's multiple different disciplines, and employee benefits is really just one facet of it. It's a very specialized function. So you do have to put in a lot of work to understand insurance laws and compliance, federal and state regulation. So there is that's the nerdy aspect of it. But the fun aspect of it is to really, you know, you get to craft and create. It's a very creative position. So if that's something that you are interested in, of not only kind of, you know, using your bookworm side, but also being creative and creating a benefits package that is comprehensive, that's complete, that attracts talent to your organization, that retains the talent that's currently there. It's an interesting function because it is, you know, it's something that you spend a lot of time on an annual basis, but only once a year do you really go to the big show, open enrollment. So it's a very, like, it's just a different dynamic. It's different than some of the other areas of HR, like recruiting or training or organizational development, you know, which are wonderful areas of HR, but it's just a different niche. And I think that, you know, anyone who's looking to get into the field of HR should dabble a little bit in employee benefits. Not only are you going to see whether or not it's for you, but you're also going to learn a lot about insurance. And guess what? You're going to need to know that for the rest of your life. So it's something that you can learn while you're seeing if it's a good career path for you.
That's awesome. Let's switch it up. So I want to get into, you know, what's going on present day. And I think there's one word that kind of sums it up, like talent. Like, there's a lot of competition out there. The job landscape overall, like attracting, retaining top talent's not always the easiest thing to do. Where do you want to start with that subject?
Gosh, I mean, there's so many different things to consider. It's a real, I think, you know, let's maybe focus on some of the issues that we can, you know, see mm-hmm. right now in the labor market. I mean, quite frankly, you know, there's just not enough employees to go around, it seems. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, I think we all are aware of the headlines as it relates to unemployment benefits. Mm-hmm. But I think you can also kind of think through, you know, the different facets here. You know, you've got baby boomers that are retiring early because of the pandemic. You've got, you know, folks that are coming out of college that might not necessarily be interested in certain hourly positions or certain entry-level positions. And you have employees that are also looking for work-life balance. And if they're not able to continue working remotely or have the type of balance that they're looking for, they're looking elsewhere. And so it really is an employee's market right now. And, you know, I think that that is something that's important for employers to remember. And that is why it's important to really craft an employee culture, an employee experience, a total rewards package that is all encompassing, because you want to have a value proposition that makes employees want to work for you and want to continue to work for you. And if you can't create that properly, you're going to be subject to some of these issues that I just listed. You're going to be subject to employees leaving your organization, or not being able to attract the right talent to fill your open positions. So it's just really important to consider holistically what's happening in the labor market in totality, so that you can really step back as an employer and create, fill some of the gaps that you have in your culture and your onboarding process, your recruiting process, your total rewards package. All of those sorts of things kind of contribute to really being best in class and trying to get, you know, employees that are, they have lots of options right now, and you definitely want them to come work for you.
So what sizes of businesses should be considering this? And I'll tell you what I mean by this. So for example, when you think like these robust, like compensation packages or training or other things, like for the, like a lot of times when people hear that, they think, oh, I'm not a Fortune 500 company, or, oh, I'm not, you know, Fortune 1000 or whatever. Like, our company's not that big. We can't think about these other things. Like, we're busy doing this and this. I mean, what's your experience with that? Like, size of company and like where this kind of stuff makes a difference?
Yeah, that is a great question. You know, we work with a variety of different clients. So, you know, we have Fortune 500 organizations all the way down to, you know, my smallest client right now has 15 employees, you know, and for the most part, HR is HR. Benefits are benefits. Compensation is compensation, regardless of your size. And ultimately, you know, what you want to do is you want to think of it in terms of your size as an employer, but you also want to think about the types of employees that you want working for you. You want responsible employees that come with a specific skill set, a background that you're looking for that can contribute to your organization. You're going to have to make them interested. And so when you think about, you know, which employer size makes the most sense for a HR strategy, really all employers of every size should have some version of an HR strategy. Does it need to look like what a Fortune 500 company is doing? Absolutely not. But I think every size organization should have some level of, you know, strategic roadmap that they're following and an annual review process to make sure that they're sticking to their strategy and that they, you know, if they need to make any changes, they're able to do that regularly and they don't feel like they're behind the eight ball trying to, you know, make up for things by throwing bonuses at people or increasing compensation too quickly. You know, there's a budgetary aspect to HR strategy as well. And you have to always be kind of balancing the two. You want to get people in the door working for you, but you can't spend a ton of money. So you got to find a way, you know, to create a strategy that makes sense for your organization, regardless of size.
Wow. That's when you just said that, like maybe increasing salary too quickly or things like that, all of this stuff plays such a big role, especially if your business is successful and it's growing. We always think about the other side, maybe like if it's not, or if this, then you think about like, who are those key players? But sometimes even there's that other side of it. And you just, a good friend of mine, his business is growing really fast and he made the mistake of increasing salary and things like that. And even the compensation package for some of the lower level management. And that really threw off his whole organization, like immediately, because then there, like it was disproportionate compared to like an overall career path. And that cost him a good year and they lost some good talent there because now it kind of shuffled everything up. But all these little nuances of where that individual, he didn't know, like he wasn't working with an HR professional or team like yours. So he just thought, oh, we're making all this money. They deserve it. They're working hard, but he didn't understand the idea that can't give it to everybody too fast. Like you have to, like there's ways to do this. There's ways to create packages that still can give the benefits
and the compensation you want to, but in a manner that's going to be healthy for the organization, that's going to retain the talent, ultimately what you want to do. And that's mm-hmm. going to be in a logical and strategic manner, so that that person in this particular case was expecting all of their raises and everything to be like that going forward. And you didn't realize it doesn't quite work that way, right?
Oh.
So that's that was a big, big problem. So when you said this, this is just one kind of thing that I noticed that that I recall. What do you see that that employers are doing right now that are kind of sticky, that's kind of sticking out to you, that maybe is going in the right direction when it comes to recruiting and attracting talent? Like, what are some things that you find are working?
You know, I think right now, you know, really offering a hybrid work environment is critical. So what we're seeing right now in the market is that because there are so many employers that are progressively working towards more of a hybrid environment. And when we say hybrid, we talk about that really means, you know, multiple types of working arrangements. So that would be remote. That would mean, you know, partly remote, partly in the office, all the way up to, you know, just being fully in the office 5 days a week. And so if you're not creating some sort of hybrid environment, you're missing out on talented individuals that might be looking for a particular arrangement, a particular work arrangement. So for example, you know, if you're a company that's located, you know, in California, perhaps you have decided that you're only going to offer, you know, in-office work arrangements. So there's no flexibility to work from home or to maybe work from home 2 days a week, or work remotely in any way, shape, or form. That is really going to limit the talent pool that's going to be coming your way and applying to your jobs. And in fact, it might actually reduce the number of applications that you receive. And then it limits the amount of people that you're actually interviewing. And that might also kind of reduce the caliber of individual that you're bringing into your organization. So what I'm seeing, you know, organizations who take the time to really understand a hybrid work arrangement and create that hybrid environment, and help employees to collaborate with one another, regardless of where they're at, when they're working on a regular basis with one another. Those are the organizations that are coming out on top in terms of retaining their existing talent and attracting new talent. So I would really encourage any employer out there that has been maybe a little less progressive in that area to really consider, you know, how much you can really change the trajectory of your recruiting strategy just by simply changing and relaxing some of the rules on where people work. I think we can all attest to the fact that it's obvious that remote workers work just as hard as those that are in the office.
I know they have me working hard still.
I think we're both working pretty hard. And I think we're, you know, I think there's a lot of individuals that have really, you know, really stepped up during, you know, the last couple of years as the future of work has kind of changed. They've really seen the benefit. They don't want to lose the opportunity to work from home and to work remotely, whether it be on vacation or, you know, from a deserted island somewhere. They want the flexibility. And that's something that as an employer, you need to be offering people.
Awesome. So let's talk about next level benefits. So first, tell us maybe a little bit more about the firm and why you started it.
Sure. Yeah. So Next Level Benefits is an HR consulting firm. I started it mainly because I really wanted to impart my expertise to as many different employers that would be willing to have me. And fortunately, when we started a couple of years ago, we've been nonstop busy. And, you know, it's been really fantastic. You know, my team and I, every single one of us has at least 20 years of corporate HR experience. And we work with a variety of employers, like I was saying earlier, you know, various sizes, all industries. And so we're really able to kind of plug in and kind of help from an expertise standpoint. We're also able to project manage different HR projects. We're able to do benchmarking and assessments on benefits programs, compensation, pay scales, you know, really just kind of take a critical look at really everything that's happening within the HR space and, you know, use our knowledge from organizations like, you know, as I mentioned before, I worked for American Eagle Outfitters for a number of years. I have other folks on the team that have worked for IBM, Netflix, United Airlines, American Airlines, eBay. a variety of different, you know, organizations that we would all know the names of. And so they'd have a really diverse set of skill set and experiences. Mm. And, you know, that can really help employers of any size, but particularly those that are smaller, like you were mentioning before. I mean, we can bring a level of expertise that they just don't necessarily have in-house. And even for our Fortune 500 clients, they love to be able just to plug us in when they need us. You know, one of our recent projects was simply plugging me in actually to help with some compensation communication. They were developing some additional compensation packages. They wanted to be able to effectively communicate it to employees, didn't have anyone on staff that could take on, they just didn't have the bandwidth. They just didn't have enough hands in the kitchen. So I came in for a couple months and helped to pull everything together and we got it rolled out. So it's, you know, we kind of just fill in the gaps when we're needed, whether it be short-term projects, long-term projects. But I love being able to, you know, share our skill sets, take our experiences and really kind of share them with others so that they can develop an HR strategy that makes sense for their organization.
So a lot of different HR companies out there, a lot of different, you know, big field. What do you think makes your company unique?
You know, we're unique because we all have corporate HR experience. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've worked with a broker or a consultant that only has broker or consultant experience. They mm-hmm. They haven't sat in the seat. You know, I've been an HR leader. I have been a benefits director. I've been an HR analyst. Mm-hmm. I've been a variety of different roles in my career within HR, and mm-hmm. so has the rest of my team. So it's very easy for us to speak the same language as business owners and also our HR counterparts that we might be helping in some of the large organizations we work with. And so it's very easy to plug us in. You don't need to kind of catch us up. You know, we already know the language. We already know what needs to be done. In a lot of cases, you know, some of our larger clients just hand us a laptop and tell us to get to work. And then some of our other clients, you know, are really looking for like, you know, help me to understand HR, give me a sense of what I should be focused on, give me a sense of what we should work on. And so, you know, I think that we can bring that level of expertise that helps tremendously because we understand the stakeholders that are at play within the organization when you're making HR changes. We understand the communication and change management pieces that need to happen. And we really understand how to navigate budget. So I think there's an opportunity to work with an HR consultant firm that, you know, like ours, that, you know, really kind of brings that level of expertise. It makes it much easier to get things done. We're able to get things done much faster, you know, accelerate things on a level that, you know, other consultants really can't. Mm.
So I know there's a lot of different things that you can do and you work in a lot of different facets with different clients. But that being said, like what are a couple of the, let's just say, challenges that you're working with clients to solve day in and day out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the labor issue is mm-hmm. probably one of the top ones right now. You know, also finding enough money in the budget to create a comprehensive total rewards package. So that balance between compensation and benefits is always tricky. And it's been particularly tricky as of late because employers really want to provide more benefits that are personalized and mm-hmm. customized so that, you know, a variety of different employees can take advantage of things that are near and dear to them. You know, for example, you know, we have a client that is really interested in developing a deeper mental health benefit. Mm-hmm. And through that mental health program that we're crafting, we're really trying to meet a variety of employees where they're at in the process. Some may be okay with just having a phone number to reach out to occasionally whenever they might need someone to talk to. And then others all the way on the other end of the spectrum mm-hmm. might really need some intensive therapy and perhaps even some inpatient care. So we're also looking at the actual insurance plan and making sure that the right benefits are there. So it really kind of, you know, runs the gamut in terms of, you know, making sure that things are personalized and customized in the total reward space is really challenging because everything costs money and everyone has a budget to work within. So that's probably one of the more challenging things besides labor that we're working with is just tighter budgets and how do you really kind of, you know, enhance programs under those circumstances. And I think lastly is, you know, the working arrangements, you know, that I was mentioning before, mm-hmm. creating policies that are practical and effective as well as remain flexible are really challenging to do. And so we're working with a lot of our clients to make sure that we kind of meet that balance, something that the employees can be proud of and really see as flexible, but also, you know, really try to make sure that the organization remains productive, you know, despite the fact that they're going to be dispersed across the country. So we are kind of working through that. So I would say those are our top three at the moment. But quite frankly, there are tons of different, you know, issues and projects and, you know, compliance concerns that, you know, all take a lot of effort and time and energy. And that's what me and my team love to spend time on, is to dig in there, fix it, and, you know, really kind of help employers to really map out, how do I make this work? And how does this fit into my overall strategy? So we do a lot more than just those top three, but those are the top three biggest challenges right now.
Fantastic. And thank you for that overview. You're right, your firm is unique, and we can see why. A lot, big deal that you have also, as you mentioned, everybody's been HR professionals and held a lot of different seats and positions. So you're pros at this, which is awesome. And speaking of that, I think I'll leverage you to get some questions answered that I've been wondering, because I'm seeing these headlines out here: turnover tsunami, gig economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, how do these things play into, in my opinion, the future of the workplace landscape?
You know, I think that there has been, you know, the gig economy has definitely been kind of hovering in the background for the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of organizations that are taking advantage of using contractors and freelancers in a lot of creative ways. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, you know, my own firm, technically, you know, we're contractors and freelancers just as much as we are consultants. And I really think that that is going to become more of a standard within a, you know, workforce strategy than it ever has been before. So I think when we all think about the gig economy, we think mainly of like Uber. you know, we think of, oh, okay, like, you know, you can contract to do this, you know, this specific type of work and get paid on an hourly basis. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to think about it, right? But there's a lot of different, you know, ways that you can think about this, you know, as the future of work kind of unfolds. I think there's a lot of opportunity for corporations, large and small, to take advantage of contractors and freelancers, not just in spaces like marketing and IT, which are fairly typical these days, but also in areas like human resources, finance, legal. There's lots of opportunities there. You know, also, I think that the turnover tsunami has really kind of enlightened a lot of employers to think, you know, if I can't necessarily fill this open position with a full-time headcount or even a part-time headcount, maybe I do just bring in a freelancer to help us with those two or three critical projects that need to happen this year. And I'm able to save money in the process because I'm not paying this person benefits. I'm not giving them a bonus. I'm not paying for their portion of the, you know, the income taxes that I would typically do for a full-time employee. So there's some pros and cons here on both sides. There's flexibility on a contractor and freelancer side of things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on the other hand, this is a, you know, an opportunity for employers to kind of solve the turnover tsunami in a way, because you don't necessarily have to fill every open position with a full-time headcount. So I think there's opportunities on both ends. And then from a turnover tsunami perspective, you know, as we were talking before, that there is just a lot of different things at play and in flux within the labor market right now. And I think ultimately we haven't seen the end of it. We're still in the midst of it. It's probably going to continue at least for the next 2 to 3 years, possibly longer. And so, you know, I do think that there are alternative workforce strategies that can be deployed to help employers to kind of combat the turnover, whether it be creating a more holistic culture and package to attract and retain employees, whether it be determining whether or not each and every open position actually needs to be filled. You know, and also, you know, really just kind of preparing, you know, themselves for perhaps we're not able to be as productive in this upcoming year as we would have liked. And so really kind of defining organizational goals with a practical lens is also really important right now.
So what's next for Next Level Benefits? So what do you have on the horizon? Like, what do you see the rest of, you know, 2021 and beyond playing out as?
Yeah, you know, we just brought on a couple, you know, new clients. We're really excited to get started on a few additional projects. We're working on one project right now where it's called Workforce Reimagined, and we are helping an organization to reimagine their entire workforce development operation and really figure out, you know, how do we make changes in a lot of different ways. So I expect that the rest of our year is going to continue much the same. We have a lot of folks that are reaching out to us with help, with redesigning a lot of the existing policies and practices that they have within their organizations. And we love doing it. We love taking a critical eye and really trying to customize, customize each and every strategy according to what an organization's needs are. So it's going to be a lot more of that. I'm also, looking forward to participating and contributing into some publications and podcasts coming up. So hopefully you'll be looking out for me because I hope to be, more in this space, trying to share my HR expertise with the world. And besides that, it's really just taking on as many clients as we can take on because we really just ultimately want to help as many organizations become the best place to work.
Oh man, that's awesome. Love it, Lauren. Big fan of what you're doing over at Next Level Benefits and all the great work that really you're doing for your clients and helping them grow, retain, attract talent, and really just making the workforce better. We talked a lot today about obviously from the employer side of things, which is your quote unquote client, but really the employees are who benefit, right? Like the employer obviously is who hires you, but the employees get the end result from this and from all of your great work. So it's just creating win-win win scenarios there. So Lauren, that being said, if somebody's watching this right now and they want more information on Next Level Benefits to connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to reach out?
So you can find out information about Next Level Benefits on our website. You can find us at nlbenefits.com. And all of the information on our website, we share details around services we provide, past projects that we've worked on, even some client commentary and testimonial. So it's a great place to get to know us a little bit better. You can also reach out to us via email or schedule a call via our website. So it is the best way to get in touch.
Fantastic. Well, Lauren, really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing more about all the great work that you and your team are doing over at Next Level Benefits. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. And don't forget, if you're a first-time listener or visitor, hit that subscribe button. We want you to come back and return and listen to more great guests that we have coming up for you. And Lauren, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Adam. Really appreciate your time today.